As usual, welcome to another episode on Great People TV on this wonderful Thursday night. You're with me, Ben Ibrahim, and tonight we've got a really, really cool topic, a young topic, the needs of the youth with politician Joanna Rampas. So without further ado, let's welcome the lady they call Jo on our show. Like I said, everyone, we are here with the one and only Joanna Rampas, politician and a person who stands for everything true and good and ethical and transparent. Joanna, aka Jo, how are you? And welcome to Great People TV.
Hi, Ben. How are you? Thank you for inviting me tonight.
Can't complain. And thank you for being with us. You were with us at the start of the year, like I said, on top of the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How's everything been, you know, all things aside?
Well, yeah, it's been quite a, I would say, very upheaval journey, you know, from the last chat that we had. I think it was earlier this year, right?
Yeah, Jan this year.
God, I just, you know, lost track of time. But yeah, it's been a great year. You know, kid, my daughter has just turned two recently, and I'm back into real job, which is politics, as you know, that the parliament has been dissolved a couple of days back. So yeah, but nonetheless, everything has been really great. Thanks.
Okay. Well, we're not going to talk about politics tonight because I'm sure you're getting that question left, right, and center. So I'll leave that to the to the media journalists. We are an inspiration show. And so our topic today is basically the youth, the needs of the youth. Mm-hmm. Politics or no politics, where are the youth right now, and how are they seen by their older generations?
Well, Ben, it's I think it goes both ways, actually. You know, it's not only how the older generation see the young generation, but it also how the young generation perceives the older generation. And I think I would like to refer this as a generation gap. You know, it's more of a psychological divide between the older generation and the younger generation, you know, regarding the concepts of life, success, love, and so on. You know, I mean, I still remember my mom's story when they said that during their times where they have to write letters to their loved ones before, as of now, you know, you just have the WhatsApp and social media to just say your, you know, to pour your heart to your loved ones. So there's always been a gap between and two generations, and this is owing to technology. You know, this gap has essentially widened over the decades. I think today's generation, to be fair, more likely to have a greater independence, whereas our parents' age, they were completely governed by their parents and the government. You know, as we know, that Malaysia has only been a form 59 years ago. So when they were in Malaysia at that time, it was just a developing country to which, you know, the government was just starting to build the nation at that time. But, you know, going forward, it's 59 years. Yeah, jobs, opportunity, education opportunity, technology, you know, it's just everywhere you see now. And, you know, I think there's a primary contrast between these two generations. I think there are, for the current generation, technology is quite sophisticated. You know, the internet provides like easy access to information, you know, for individuals, as opposed to our, you know, parents before, when they go to university, they only have like a certain amount of subjects they can actually like enroll into, as opposed to now you have all kinds of education opportunities. And I've told my mom at times, I said, you know, I think, you know, there's this thing called influencer, and she goes like, apa itu? You know what I mean? So like I said, yeah, you can actually make money from being an influencer. And it's just like she just could not make sense of that. So it's the generation gap has been, it's very widened over the last decades. And But which generation that actually is more happier? I think each generation has their own satisfaction and growth in their period. You know, it's making it very difficult for us to determine who has the most benefit. Yeah.
Now, thanks for explaining that. I think that was spot on the money, because that's not an easy question to answer. Because it's, I mean, it just varies from culture to culture. But
definitely,
you have been blessed by being raised by a Western, one Western parent, one Asian parent. So you've seen the needs of the people, so to speak, from both lenses of the world. You know, sometimes we in Malaysia, we just think, you know, the way of Malaysia is the way of the world, or, you know, maybe just Malaysia is the world. So what I'm trying to say is, how do we bridge that gap between the generations in terms of bringing everybody together, bringing everybody on the same page? Because I will be honest, whenever we hear about young talents these days, the comments are more negative than positive.
Yeah. You mean like from the comments from the older generation?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, just in general, or entitled, you know, or, you know, the attitude was poor and everything. But I think young people are very smart. They're tech savvy. They're super exposed. They know a lot more than we do. But yet, there's still this thing that young people can't stick around for a company for more than 6 or 7 months, and they want high pay. They don't want to do the time. I like to think that not every young person is like that.
Well, I would have to say sometimes, you know, when I meet like older generation, they used to say, they like to say that, you young people are lazy. You know, last time
exactly.
I have to go to the library, you know, and bring all your, when I have to do my thesis, you know, I have to take all the books and do lots of, research and whatnot. And now what you can get is everything is on the internet. But I think there's pros and cons to that, Ben, to be honest. You know, things have evolved over the last, 20, 30 years, you see. And we have to realize that, I mean, there needs to be a good combination between the old and the younger generation. There needs to be a good blend among these two DNAs, I would say. Of course, our parents have gone through hard times before. You know, I still remember when my mom said that, you know, we need to wait for scholarships and whatnot to get into school. Whereas now, you know, you have, besides the problems in PTPTN that we have, but you have, you know, like things, things like this that could actually help you to get into school before, to school now, you see. So these are the things. But in the meantime, as I said just now, you know, every generation has their own, they have their growth in their own period, you see. So, and I was blessed to see, you know, the difference. I had the opportunity to live in the kampung, you know, and I have seen how the older generations at that time, I was about, how old was I? About 5 years old when I actually, you know, engaged with all of the older generations, the inan-inan, they call it in the kampung, where I have to wake up in the morning, go to tamu, you know, it's like a pasar that they have to sell their goods. And I had the opportunity to also live in Kota Kinabalu, to which I live where I am right now. And I had the opportunity to also live in KL for a couple of years and then move to the UK for a number of years. So, you see, it's not only as it's spot on what you said, you know, when there is not only the generational gap, but as well as the, you know, the cultural differences that I have seen. And how do we bridge that? Well, to be fair, it's good to also, you know, have some sort of it's very important for us to have the younger generation and the older generation to always have a good quality time together. I think it really starts from home, to be fair. You know, it has to start from the house where, you know, the parents have to really focus on the child. And, you know, when it's dinner time, when it's, you know, family time, phones are away. You know, I can see when I go to, it's just sad to see, you know, Ben, when you go to you know, restaurants, or when I go outside and you see that parents are just, you know, playing with their, not parents, the kids are playing with their phones, and what I can see there is just they're playing with games and whatnot. So I think it is also important for parents to actually, you know, create that time, that quality time between the younger generation or their children and themselves, so that that gap can be bridged.
That's the best words, best sentence ever. The gap can be bridged, which leads me perfectly to my next question. I don't have too many questions more, so to speak, if that English makes sense, but as a politician, how do you plan to bring people together? The good old saying, politics is about compromise, and you have to compromise the needs and the wants of the youth, the older generation, people from the kampung, people from the city, overseas investors, all of the above.
Yep.
I know it's another hard question to answer, but I'm sure this is the question that you try to answer every day. So if you can say it in 3 or 4 or 5 sentences, you've done well.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's not an easy task to actually. No. Yeah, it is not, you know, especially when you need to. I mean, I being in politics, it's, you don't only deal with the youth, so to speak, you know, you deal with every part of you know, the society. You have the older generation that you have to talk to. You have the younger generations. You have the, what would I say this? You know, the more sexier word to say is Gen Z, and there's Gen Y. All right. So you deal with every generation. And when you are in politics, but I think, you know, in politics, you need to know, you have to be in tune with what the people desire as compared to what they need. You see, sometimes, you know, when I see, you know, policies that have been made, you know, even though would you say that, you know, we're not talking about politics tonight, Ben, but at the end of the day, it still goes back to the policy that has been made that actually creates the society and molds the society, you see. So this is my opinion about it. You see, you have to be in tune with what the people desire as opposed to what they need. And I always bring this when I go around to see, you know, people at the ground. It is very important for us to actually have the bottom to top system, to which we have to listen to what they desire, what they want, for us to actually build a policy that goes in line with what they want. You can't make something, you know, a policy that does not go in line with what they want. And this is what we see. There's a mismatch of, you know, fresh graduates that doesn't go along with job requirements or you know, the industry that we need so far. And it is when the pandemic broke out and we had a little bit time to adjust to the new strategy, you know, at that point, this country. And of course, our country progress over the years has been profoundly influenced by leadership vacuums, you know, political upheavals, struggle for control of government, and so on. So, and as a result, you know, our economy experienced successive losses and falling further behind than our ASEAN neighbors. And I would say that the younger generations now, the young people between 15 to about 30 years old, are the COVID generation, quote unquote. And there is a need for a radical policy change at the federal level, at the state government level, to ensure that we can overcome the issues of young generation, like cost of living. You see, should the price of commodities be subsidized? You know, should salary be raised, you know, why are housing costs are very, very high, rental rates are high, you know, high inflation, job opportunities, you know, there's a mismatch between need and supply, economics. It's very, very, you know, worrying when I saw today that, you know, the Malaysian ringgit against the US dollar is about 4.7, you know, and this just clearly shows that, you know, there is a lack of foreign direct investment that is coming into our country. And again, this all comes back to political stability at the end. You know, I don't think a lot of foreign direct investments will come into our country if there is no stability. And what is the most important thing here, and what I have actually seen and spoke to a lot of our young generation, and as well as, you know, the older generation, what they really hope and what they want, and what this is what they want, is political stability in this country.
And the final question, as a person who is going the distance, I mean, you could have done, I think I said this to you before, you could have done anything. You could have done another occupation. You could have been in the entertainment occupation. You could have been a writer of books. You could have been a lawyer or a judge. But you really want to go the distance in this profession, which you said in our last interview at the start of the year, to make a difference and to make sure that this, our society, Malaysia, not just goes to another level, but goes to another 7 or 10 levels and is a fully developed country. So tell us, final question, tell us that picture, what a fully developed country looks like. What a fully developed country, what's the mindset like with the people then? When is it? Like, and tell us about that society that you're trying to strive so hard to work for. And again, not talking about the politics, talking about the dream.
Definitely. Well, I still have to tell you why. I mean, maybe I have to explain as well why I.
It's all yours.
Yes. Well, you know, being a mom and getting into, you know, politics, for example, you know, if you have suggested that I enter into politics 8 years before, I will definitely respond with disapproval. Definitely won't join politics. But of course, my initial skepticism gave way to the realization that, you know, reform can only be done by entering into this, you know, an arena that affects politics of a state and of a country. So first, you know, what drove me into this is to make a difference. Okay, since we're talking about, you know, why, what would I see? You know, why would I do what I'm doing right now rather than becoming a judge or a lawyer? Or probably, you know, speaking of books, I would probably write a book maybe after, you know, a couple of years and a little bit more of experience. That's actually a very good one to do, you know, Ben. Thanks for the idea.
No
but
problem.
Yes, but the first, you know, the magnitude of poverty that I saw in Sabah really breaks my heart, you know. Being in politics or not, this was way before me joining in politics. So, you know, I said, why should Sabah with so immense potential be so impoverished? That was the question that I was asking to myself. Of course, you know, when I was in the UK, and this is where I had more of the opportunity to read and to study, because I was doing international law, and that was my major in my master's in law. And this is where I have actually seen the opportunity. I mean, I had the opportunity to actually read more about governance, you know, good governance. And this is what I've actually seen, that what we are lacking here is misgovernance. This is what I've seen. So what I hope, and what I hope to see in the next couple of years to come, and my participation in this arena of policy making, I truly believe in policy-driven politics. Political competition is not necessarily destructive, and we have friends in all parts of the political party, whether it be it government or in the opposition, as well as other NGOs. And it's very important for us to emphasize on good governance. I could not put more emphasis on good governance and nation building and healthy politics driven by a rejection of corruption and as well as racial politics. So that is my hope and intention for being in politics. And I hope, really, you know, when I retire, I'm not going to be forever in politics, Ben. There's only a limit that I can, I have. So, I hope that, you know, my involvement in this career could actually make a difference for the generation to come.
Well, you've answered this episode very, very well. The needs of the people, whether they're young or old, in the future, your dream, your vision for that society is E and R. And I'm not talking about the good old medical TV show in the 90s, which is ethics and respect.
Respect, yes.
Two things that we crave for every day. And you want that government in the future, now, then, and in 100 years to always govern with Definitely. Those two words. Yes. Johanna Rampas, thank you so much for coming on Great People TV, giving a lot of light and color to the topic, the needs of the youth. We wish you all the very best in your political career and writing your book and other things as well.
Hopefully.
And like I always say, don't ever be a stranger to knock on the door of Great People TV. We will happily have you back. Okay. Thanks so much, Joe. Take care.
Thanks.
What an interesting episode. And you know what? Every day we talk about respect and ethics. So let's all lead our groups or work with the people that we work with every day with great respect, and also hopefully start with that word ethics. It's a great one. I love it. Before I go, please, as usual, follow our social media platforms on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and we're working on the TikTok. I don't know how that's going to work, but we're working on it. Until the next episode, everyone, thanks for watching Great People TV.